Good morning, everybody. How's everybody? Blessed and highly flavored. Blessed and highly flavored and highly favored. Would you turn to Psalm 62, please? Psalm 62. In verse 11 and 12. Psalm 62, 11 and 12. In verse 11, let's read it together. God has spoken once. He has what? How many know God speaks? When's the last time did you hear him? When's the last time you hear God speak to you? See, if you're a believer, if you're truly a real believer, which the word believe means to follow. If you're truly a believer, you're going to hear God's voice. Because he says, my sheep know my voice. If you're truly a part of his flock, not a wannabe, but a willoughby.
Yeah, I'm a believer.
You're a believer. Are you a believer because you want to be, or you're willing? There's a lot of wannabes. They say, I'm a believer, but in true reality, they're saying, I want to believe. That's different. An individual that is a believer that says they want to believe is lost. They're lost. Because there's a lot of things people want to do, but never do. See, in the kingdom of God, it isn't a circumstance of wanting to do, it's doing. It's doing. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, I gave him my life and I said, I will do. When the Lord visits Saul on his horse when he was on the way to Damascus and slammed him off his horse, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? See, there's a difference. If you're truly a believer, you'll say, whatever you want me to do. It's not what I want to do. It's not that I want to be a believer. I will to be a believer. I'm going to do it. There's a difference. And in this is where God begins to bring us to a place of hearing so many other voices to beginning to learn how to hear his voice. And he says, my sheep know my voice. And in this, in verse 11, it says, God has spoken. Well, let me tell you, God has not stopped speaking. He's still speaking. It says, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Now, I want you to correlate two things here, spoken and power. Spoke and power. Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that's spoken out of the voice of God, spoken from his word. And verse 12, he says, also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. And I want you to put in their word. In other words, you render to each one according to his work and his word. His work and his word. Why? Because what comes out of your mouth is also considered work. Go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. So two things that are correlated here, and that's God speaks in power. Amen? In verse 21, Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and what?
Life
are where? In the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So life and death are in the power of the tongue. So what you speak is what you eat. And as long as you're speaking truth, you will eat light. If you're speaking deception, you'll eat darkness. In 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Is everybody there? In verse 11, please. Let's read it together. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, there's something very important here. He says, when I was a child, immature, I spoke as a child. In other words, I rendered things out of my mouth that were childish, associated to the natural realm. And I spoke things out of my mouth according to childish ways, because it says, I thought as a child. Those things are immaturity. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, in the world, when we become Christians, when we walk with Christ, one of the things that begins to happen is the mind of Christ begins to get established in us, to where we see things differently, we hear things differently, and we speak things differently. Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Has everybody got it? And the reason that we do these things now is so that we can activate things from the unseen realm to bring them forth into the seen realm. It's called eternal activation. Everyone say eternal activation. So that we can bring... Now listen, this is important, because Jesus overcame the devil by what he spoke, not by what he thought. Because the devil is an angel who has fallen. Jesus was the Word who became flesh. He waited for the anointing of Christ. He waited for the eternal connection, the eternal presence, power, and truth called the anointing to come upon him. Then he can go defeat the devil, because he was able to activate eternal weapons by what he spoke. So understand this, that everything eternally is activated by your mouth, not by your thought, by your mouth. Jesus never thought the devil away. He spoke him away. So we're going to talk today about eternal activation. Now, so when we were a child, we spoke about natural things. Now that we've become believers, we're no longer speaking about natural things. We're speaking about eternal things. It's a different. So, you know, when you get around somebody that says they're believing, that's all they do is speak about all the things of the world. You know, they ain't. They're not a believer. Because a believer's language changes. It changes. A believer begins to speak about the things of God, not the things of the world. Now, don't get me wrong. Not that we don't have to speak about things, you know what I'm saying, of the world. But their desire is focused on the eternal, not the temporary. It's focused on the eternal, not the temporary. And in this, there's a place where as we speak, we activate the eternal things of God. Now, I'm going to give you an example. The Bible says that by his stripes we're healed, right? Okay. So I may have a broken arm or broken leg. The fact is that I have a broken arm and broken leg, right? Okay. Somebody says, what happened to your leg? I broke it. I can't say I healed it, because I didn't. But the truth is, by his stripes, I'm healed. Because the word says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So as you speak things, God is always ready to move on your word, because it's his word. So God will never interrupt his own word. Do you understand that? So that's why we have scriptures. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why you have the mind of Christ. So there are things that you're going to go through, experiences and sufferings, which we call experiences. You're going to go through some up and downs, because these are things that are going to give you opportunity to activate the eternal things. Hey, if everything's going smooth and beautiful for you, you never activate the eternal things. I mean, you just say, thank you, Lord, and whatever. But man, you know, if there's no devils attacking you, what fun is it? I mean, you know. Praise God, you might as well go home then. Hallelujah. You know, this whole earth is a Holy Ghost aerobics. So that we can fight the powers of darkness. It's an exercise. It's Holy Ghost boot camp, officers training school for the eternal things. So we must be trained now. Everything is training. You know, most people aren't even focused at all about, well, you know, most people don't think about leaving the planet or that they're even on one. And looking at the eternal things, they're so caught up in the temporary. And the only thing they know is the language of the temporary. And if an individual claims to be a believer and only knows the language of the temporary, they are lost. Hello. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Eternal activation. I'll go out and play tennis. I'll come home. My wife says, how'd you do? I say, I'll stink. But I'm learning. Then I have to break all my words off of myself. Then I begin to thank the Lord for the opportunity to go out and play tennis or get physical or stay and maintain health. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, I think. Oh, no. 19. Is everybody there? Oh, wait, we're going to start somewhere else here. I like this. 16. Let's read this together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice when it came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but by holy men and women of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So in this, he said the prophetic word was confirmed. Why? You got to understand something. That things that are being spoken prophetically are from the future. Come on, grab this. Things that are spoken prophetically are from the future. See, God is omnipresent. He's past, present, and future. So to him, there is no past or present or future. It's all one. So what he does is he sees everything. When he creates something, when he created this realm, he says, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end. So he saw what he created and he saw when it's going to end. So what he does is he speaks through his spirit now, through men and women. He said, men and women of God. That means they have a relationship with him. And he speaks to things prophetically, because prophetically is association with the things of eternal to be activated. And in this, there are things from the future that God is bringing to someone to speak forth, to bring it in at a specific time. Isaiah prophesied about a son who would be born, and he would be known as God Almighty, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Amen. He'd be born of a virgin. So all of these were prophesied thousands of years ago, and then things came to pass. So in this, when you speak, you are activating eternal things by the word of God. And when you are moved by the Spirit of God, you first, how are you going to know if it's God if you don't have a relationship? You won't even know. And God can use anybody, but he prefers to use his righteous. When he speaks according to the body of Christ, because the move of the Spirit begins to shift. The move of the Spirit is getting ready to shift. He speaks to his prophets who are in prophetic office. Not that anybody can't speak prophecy by the Spirit of God, but there are specific offices who are prophets. They speak to nations. By speaking to nations, they're speaking to nations, and the purpose of this is to move the body of Christ in a specific shift of God, because the Holy Spirit is doing a new thing. Has everybody got it? Moving in another direction. I get a lot of people that come up to me and said, yes, I'm a prophet. I want to tell them you're an idiot. Just because they've prophesied over someone, all of a sudden they're a prophet. That's not the way it is. You are born a prophet. God has predestined you for a specific office. But it doesn't mean that we can't move into gifts of the Spirit of prophecy, because the gifts of the Spirit are tools that are given to me and you to activate eternal things. Eternal activation is established by the unction of the Holy Spirit spoken through you. Just like the weapons of God. You don't cast out a devil by your thought. You cast out a devil because the word says, in my name, many will who follow me, in my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will lay hands on the sick. But everything must be directed in fellowship by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean you can't pray for somebody that's sick and lay hands on them and ask God to heal them. Healing is a process. But there are times when God will say, pray for that person. Or there's times when God's going to say, I'm going to heal that person right now. And I've seen that happen multitude of times. I've seen a person get healed right that moment. And I've seen people who've gotten healed in a process. But it was established, or it was activated by the spoken word, moved by the Spirit. Moved by the Spirit. So something, when you activate something, you turn it on. Now, the devil's always going to try to come and turn it off. And like we heard testimony about faith and fear, the devil always likes to turn things off by fear. So what he tries to do is prevent you from learning these things, because my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So if he can prevent you from knowing these things, you will never do them. If he can prevent you from knowing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, laying hands on the sick, and casting out devils, then people won't know it. That's what happened to Paul. Remember, he went in another region, and he met believers there. And he said, look, did you get baptized in the Holy Ghost when you believed? They said, huh? We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. So they led him in a prayer, laid hands on him, they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and started speaking in tongues. So in this, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And in verse 19, I want to read this again. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. What was confirmed? The things that were spoken, because they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit moved them, people who had a relationship with God Almighty spoke something in, and it came to pass. Why? Because it was called eternal activation. Men and women of God moved and spoke. Why? To activate the purposes from the eternal realm. 2 Corinthians 4. To activate the purposes from the eternal realm. That's why when people come into our discipleship program, we give them specific prayers to speak, because they are causing activation. They are causing activation. Does everybody got it? It'd be nice if everything just, you know, but God doesn't have a drive-through clinic. Not saying he can't. Amen. I would never limit what he can do, because he can. There's people that just say, oh, Lord, heal, and he's healed. You know. But in this, majority of the time, there is a process, and God utilizes this process for us to learn. He also utilizes it to get the world out of you. So there's a process where God begins to remove the world from us so he can establish his character, his image, and his likeness, so we become like-minded with the mind of Christ. Eternal activation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, is everybody there? Now, how are these things activated? Well, it has to be spoken, right? You have to be moved, right? So it's going to take something to do this. And it's called faith. It's called faith. And God has already given us a measure of faith. And there's an area where sometimes we need to cry out, Lord, increase my faith. In verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read this together. And since we have the same spirit of what? Faith. According to what is written, I believed and therefore I what? I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, will you what? We do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So he's saying, listen, since we have the same spirit of faith, I believed, so I spoke. So I what? Spoke. Why? Because he was activating his faith, which activates eternal things. Has everybody got this? Now, there's a little bit further I want to go on this. So it's going to take faith to speak, doesn't it? See, you don't even realize it, but you came here by faith. Hello? You came here by faith. Now, the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. So maybe for some of you younger ones, your mother and father said, you going to church today. So you obeyed by faith. And hope you don't get butt kicked. Because you knew that there would be a reward. You know. So in this, but we come because faith comes by hearing. And it says hearing by the word of God. Now the word of God is not just written, it's his voice, isn't it? So when we hear him, and that's how we are moved. So you heard God. You know, when you're wrestling with God, and he's asking you to do something, when you choose to disobey, that's the wrong faith. And then there's torment. There's discord. There's division within yourself. But when you obey God, there's that sense of peace. There's that sense of pleasing him. And you're grateful. You have joy because you know you just please God. Praise God. Let's go a little further. Hebrews 11. Hebrew. Shebrew this morning, but. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 1. Everybody okay? Now, faith is the what? Is the what? It's the substance of things what? Hope for. The evidence of what? Things not seen. So, substance and things hoped for. In other words, something that is hoped for is future. It isn't past. It's hoped for. It is future or to come. And it's evidence of things not seen. So what you're doing is calling something in that you don't see, but you see it somewhere else. See, because you don't see it in the physical realm, you see it in the spiritual realm, because faith is spiritual sight. So when God speaks to you, it brings an image. When he brings that image to you, you see it spiritually. So now that you see it, you speak it, and it's going to come. And in the gifts of the Spirit, which we have teachings on the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm not going to go through them all, but one of the things we want to begin to learn is to activate the gifts of the Spirit. And even when praying for someone or during a service like we had the Friday night service, and we praised and worshiped and had a great time, and then afterwards, there was the Holy Spirit began to move in the area and unction me to speak certain things. And when I heard it, I saw it. And I saw somebody's right shoulder getting healed. I saw somebody's top of their heart, that there was something wrong with the top of their heart, and they were having a hard time grabbing breath, and God was healing them. And then Saturday morning when we got together, the two people that God touched that night, one of them gave testimony, and the other one gave testimony later. Would you two stand up, who God touched Friday night? Stand up. And what did God do with you? His heart. And what did he do with you? Shoulder. Hallelujah. To God be the glory, though. Amen. So in this, it's because there was an unction, and in this unction, there was a voice or a vision. Most of the time, you'll see the vision and not realizing that you heard it first. But it always comes through the voice. And even if you're not paying attention to the voice, the vision comes. And then the Lord says, speak it because it's happening. And there's other things that happened that I didn't even find out yet. But hallelujah. Has everybody got it? So in this, God speak. Why? Because he wants us to activate the eternal things. And activating the gifts of the Spirit are tools that we need to operate to give the opportunity for God to move. He is waiting for a yielded vessel. Anyone, whether it's prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, anything. Is everybody okay? So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Wow. So God created things. He created the world, right? Nothing was there. But he created it by speaking it in. Because we are co-creators with God. Are you listening? Not only co-laborers, but co-creators. Go to verse 6. What does it say? But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently what? Seek him. So he's asking me and you to seek him. And again, this is so important, because the Bible says, seek my face. Seek my face, not my hand. Seek my face. And we did an exercise Saturday morning and asked everybody to pray in the Spirit and begin to seek the face of the Lord. And when you seek the face of the Lord, see what he's saying to you. And as he spoke to us, people began to give testimony what God said. See, Jesus, everything of God was put into the face of Jesus. So now we have the Word who became flesh. You have someone that you can see and speak to. Do you understand that? You have somebody that you can see and speak to. Even though now he's got woolly hair, fiery hair, he's a little different. Yeah. But you can still see him in the face of Jesus. So we're to seek his face. And when we seek his face, he will speak to you. but you got to become a seeker. That's where we have relationship. In other words, how are you going to know the voice or an unction of someone you're not hanging with? And this is the difference between religion and relationship. Listen, your pastor cannot create your relationship with God. Your church. Does everybody got it? That must be between you and God. The Holy Spirit's desire is to establish a relationship with you and the Father. That's his desire. That is the desire of Jesus. He came to be the example. He had a relationship with him and the Father. Now we have the Spirit of Christ in us. The Spirit of Jesus is in us. And that desire he has is to have a relationship with the Father. But we have a relationship through the Spirit in the name of Jesus to the Father. Does everybody got it? Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Let's read this together. For we walk by faith. Now wait a minute, what's faith again? Spiritual sight. So we walk by the things that we see in the eternal realm. It says we walk by faith, not by what? That sight is natural realm. I've got a lot of people that come up to me and say, yes, I'm walking in faith. I'm stepping out in faith. Well, faith isn't blind. So unless God told you to do this, then you're not really stepping out in faith. You're stepping out on an assumption. And in that assumption, it's always dangerous. Because if God isn't directing you, then there's no protection. Does everybody got it? And then people blow it, make mistake, but thank God he's forgiven and his mercies are new every morning. And even when we make a mistake, we can't do no wrong because he loves us unconditionally. Amen? He just says, okay, shake the dust off. Come on back here. Let's try this again. Hallelujah. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Go to Romans 10. So sometimes it's not what God told you, what did God show you? In verse 15, it says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Again, when he speaks, there's always an image. And sometimes you might not exactly hear that perfect voice, but you will see. You will see. So when you see something, you better confirm it. Lord, is that you? Please confirm what's what. And when you don't know, you wait. Because you don't want to walk on assumption. You want to walk in faith. Amen? James 2. Eternal activation. James chapter 2. Is everybody there? James chapter 2. Would you read verse 17 with me? Is everybody there? Let's read it. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? It's dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you what? My faith by my works. Now again, I want you to begin to coordinate works with words. So he says, Thus also faith without by itself, if it does not have words, is what? Dead. Because faith comes by hearing. Hearing brings an image. You see the image, and then what do? You speak to what? Activate the eternal things. It's called eternal activation. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So one of the things we need to do is break off of our life words that we've spoke over ourselves. Words that others have spoken over us. Words that doctors have spoken over us. Words must be broke and severed from us. I do them every morning and every night, twice a day, at least. Hello. Because see, understand this now. I want to share something very important. When words are spoken, it brings an image. So let's just say, when you hear something, it brings an image, right? So when somebody says something to you, you hear it and it brings an image, doesn't it? That image, when you speak it, because you agree with it, if it's not God, it brings an emotional attachment. That emotional attachment opens a door to the voice of the stranger and allows demonic forces to enter you. So that emotional attachment now, come on, grab hold of this, is attached to spirits. So when someone says to you, you never do anything right, and you see yourself never doing anything right, and then when something happens, you say, man, I never do anything right. Well, that's an emotional attachment with oppression. And that spirit now is activated in and has access to you. Because you've eternally activated something unseen. And we need to break these things off. That's why the enemy always attacks us. From the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, you heard every conversation wherever your mother went. I mean, you know, most people who are pregnant don't think, oh, don't say anything in front of the child. You know, they just walk around pregnant. But they don't realize that wherever that child is, it's picking up things. Everybody got it. And that child now is born with emotional attachments that need to be severed because of what it's heard. It may not understand, but that's what it's heard. Then this child goes through life not even realizing, I don't understand what happened to me. You know, the Bible says that we were born in iniquity. That's ancestral curses handed down. Because of things that were spoke and things that were done by our forefathers. So you were born, so you are what you've inherited, right? And that inheritance needs to get broke. Because those things that were spoke are things that were done through our ancestors. Is everybody okay?
Yep.
Praise God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, is everybody there? In verse 11. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. Let's read it together. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, this is powerful. Why? Because he says, lay hold of what? Eternal life or eternal living. To which you were also called and have what? Confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So again, he says, fight a good fight of what? So what are you fighting? You're fighting to see spiritually. Does everybody got it? You are fighting to see spiritually. Now, religion does not have this concept. Are you getting this? Religiosity doesn't have this concept. They can't comprehend these things because the word religion is associated with bondage. They don't want you to see into the spirit realm. They don't want you to see those things. They want to keep you bound in the natural realm. But I'm telling you, Jesus came to set the captives free. And the first thing he preached was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. So you now have access in the name of Jesus through the Spirit of God to the Father. Fight the faith. That's fighting to maintain spiritual sight, because you want to constantly be able to activate the eternal gifts that God has given us. So you're fighting. Now the devil's going to come against you with fear, isn't he? He's going to try to break through, or he's going to resist you according to worldly fear, which is demonic. So every time people think about stepping out in faith, make sure that you hear, you see, then you speak. That's stepping out in faith. So everybody got it. If you didn't see yet, you're not stepping out in faith. You're stepping out in assumption. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And 1 John chapter 5. Eternal activation. That's how you activate the weapons of God. You activate the spirits, the gifts of the Spirit. Eternal activation. And 1 John chapter 5. And listen, it's going to take practice. Okay? So don't let the devil beat you up when you blow it. One of the ways to practice certain things is ask the Lord every morning to give you a psalm. Lord, give me a psalm. When you see the number of the psalm, you go to it and you speak it out. Because he's giving you a specific prayer to pray that day. So go to him, Lord, give me a psalm. And he's going to show you it. You will see it. He's going to speak it. You'll see it. Then you go to it. And then you speak the psalm. That's a good way of practicing. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Read it with me. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Overcome the what? The world. Overcome worldly fear associated with worldly ways of the natural realm. By hearing, seeing, and speaking. Eternal activation of the gifts. Now let me share something with you. Eternal activation of the gifts of the Spirit and covenant promises. Eternal activation of the gifts of the Spirit and covenant promises. That's how you overcome the world. By speaking, you are activating your covenant promises from God and the gifts of the Spirit, which are tools. You're also activating the weapons of God in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Christ. So your three major weapons are his name, his word, and his blood. His two keys he's given you is to bind and loose. So you've got keys, you've got weapons, you've got gifts, and you've got covenant promises. What's the problem? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10. Practice. Just keep practicing. Don't lose heart. Keep going. In verse 36, we'll start at 35. Therefore, do not cast away your what? Confidence, which has great what? Reward. For you have need of what? Endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So would the will of God speak to you, give you an image for you to speak? Yes, it's a covenant promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who what? Draw back to perdition or the ways of the world, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Praise God. Again, in Luke 17, and you don't have to go there, in verse 5, even the disciples got to a point where they said, Lord, increase our faith. What were they asking? Lord, increase our spiritual sight. Increase our spiritual sight. Allow me to see. Because they saw Jesus. Man, Jesus did a lot of things. And he said something powerful. He says, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. So he knew that he had to see something spiritually before he could do it. In fact, even before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he saw it. And he said, Father, I know you hear everything I ask for, and it's already done already, but I'm doing this so that they believe. Amen? So everybody lift your hands to heaven. Say, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. That I may hear, that I may see, and then I may speak according to your will. In the name of Jesus. And I want to close at Proverbs 3. You don't have to say that. Turn to your neighbor and tell him your life has changed today. Now cooperate. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Let's read this together. Are you ready? Are you ready? Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. How? By speaking to you, granting you an image to see, and then you speak it. Why? Because the word is a what? Lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Praise God. Eternal activations. It's time. Practice. Amen? Yeah. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb so that it grows and bears fruit for your glory. And let there be manifestation of eternal activation in each and every one. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.